Now, let's go back to this trouble with visualization. You say that the images are not very clear. This can be due to three things. Firstly, you must learn to distinguish between imaging and visualization. Visualization is building images or scenarios that you can watch. An example might be watching the building of the pyramids or a battle scene in history. Imaging, on the other hand, is being a part of the scenario. An example would be, you are winning a Nobel Prize. You visualize the building in Stockholm where it takes place. Then you step into the visualization, take your seat, look around at the other people, feel the atmosphere, listen to the speeches, and finally step up to the podium, accept your prize, and give your speech. In other words, when you work inside a visualization, you must be inside it, not watch yourself inside it. With images, you don't visualize yourself doing things. You get inside and let the image work around you. The second problem might be that what you are trying to build may not have been observed with enough attention to detail. Or, thirdly, you are trying to visualize something you have never seen at all and have no idea of what it looks like. In my workshops on visualization, these problems come up time and again. You must practice being inside various scenarios. Get used to being there and not just watching yourself. This is very important, for unless you can be there, you lose at least 50% of the power available to you. I advise you to think back on the exercise I gave you last time on observation. You need to give more time to these and pay greater attention to detail. It occurs to me that you may be building the image too close to your inner eye. When you stand close to a painting, it can look like a collection of blobs of colour, which basically is what it is. But when you move away from the picture, it becomes clearer and more recognisable. So try building your image as if it were further away from you and see if that corrects the fault. As for visualising locations you have not actually seen, or a particular type of object, well, you can get around that as well. And the answer is an old-fashioned scrapbook. I kept one for years of places, landscapes, buildings of all kinds, interiors, even things like doorways, arches, staircases, trees and gardens. And when I wanted to build a particular pathworking or a special kind of castle with high arched doors and a carved staircase, I could open the book and find what I needed. Then I could sit down and visualize it, or if I was writing, I could describe it in the way that the picture had showed me was the correct way. You have an advantage that I did not have, at least not until now. You have digital cameras, camcorders, DVDs and scanners. The scrapbook idea is at your fingertips in the form of electronic storage. With enough memory on your computer, You can scan and store anything and everything you will ever need to use in visualization. This is one of those simple ideas that are worth their weight in chocolate chip cookies. It's simple, it doesn't cost much, it takes up no room on your bookshelves, and it offers worldwide access. Look through magazines, postcards, old photos, guidebooks, anything for images. Scan them in and make a library of them. Given the amount of traveling I do and the places that I've seen, I no longer need this kind of help. But you are just starting out, and you will find it one of the best aids to visualization you can ever have. This leads me into the gathering and storing of information. When I began to build a library in the early 60s, books of the kind that I needed were as rare as unicorns. I live in a small terraced cottage, and storing 4,000 books has been a trial. Electronic storage has made this easier, but not much. Not only are books more freely available, you can often download them, or in this case, listen to them. You can find what you want at the touch of a mouse button. But a real book is still one of the best friends you can have. Invest in a good encyclopedia program, even two different kinds, but keep a lookout for books that will further your knowledge. Go back to the first session and reread what I told you about memory, because one day you will be doing this job, and you will be the teacher. Then you will need to have information at your tongue tip. As you gain experience, keep going back over what you know and updating it. The old ways are good and have much to offer. But allow changes to happen in your life. Knowledge, apprentice, is power, but only if you know how to use it. And power itself is a two-edged sword. It can be a defender of those weaker than yourself, and it can be your own destruction. Never try to use more than you can handle. My teacher once told me, power is best used by those who don't want it. The unseen powers that we talk about in the title are not rare talents. Everyone has them to some degree. A few people, like you, want to learn how to recognize them, train them, and use them. And there is only one way to learn how to use these powers, and that is by making mistakes. Knowledge can only be acquired by constant correction and memorizing until it becomes second nature. When you do something right, you improve your performance. When you do something wrong, you learn to understand its power very quickly.